Well, as you know, we have been in this series on old news. Preston started the series out talking about Israel and how they're in the news all the time and how they will always be in the news, just so you know. And then I talked a little bit about the church state. Where is the state of the church going to be in the old times? And all the news we get is all just old news. We know that it's been foretold forever and ever. And then Chris last week talked about the second coming in the realm of the rapture and what it looks like. And of course, here at our church, we believe we're pre-trib. And if we're not pre-trib, we're mid-trib. And at the end of mid-trib, we're the post-trib. Just so you know, we're going to be tribbed. Okay? We're going to be caught up. And today I'm going to talk about the tribulation, and so today is going to be a little heavy. I'm not going to do a lot of preaching, I'm going to do a lot of reading. And why am I going to do that? The Bible says this about what was written in Revelation. In your Bible, Revelation 22:18 says this, I warn anyone or everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share of the tree of life in the holy city, which are described in this book. I just want you to know, I'm not interested in damning myself by ad-libbing to whatever is in this book. I'm going to just read it to you today. It's going to be a little heavy. Matter of fact, when we think of tribulation, we really can't get our mind around the magnitude of some things. How many times have you been in an event where somebody describes something to you and you thought, yeah, I got that kind of under control. I know what I'm thinking. I think I know what that's going to be. And when you show up, it's like, whoa, this is terrible. This is way worse than I ever dreamed or imagined. I couldn't have done that. I think for all of us in the room today, we could say the Holocaust is one of those things. You know, we've read, we heard, we see all the things that happen to the Jews in Germany, but we just can't comprehend what really happened. I mean, the magnitude, when you think about what happened to those Jews, it was incredible to even process for us. Think about you losing all of your possessions, all of your money is taken, your businesses are taken away, your homes are taken away, then you're sent to ghettos and concentration camps. And then you're worked to death, you're starved to death, you're froze to death, you're gassed to death, you're killed in medical experiments just to find out how the body works. I mean, we can't even comprehend what the Jews went through at that time. It's mind-boggling. I just want you to know something. The tribulation is like that. It's going to be something that we're going to read today that will simply blow our minds. We're going to struggle through it. So why do I share with you this atrocity, this information? I want you to understand something, that this information is for you and I to grasp the reality that God is not only loving, but he is just, and he is going to bring judgment. So often churches today are afraid to actually speak about the topic. It's hard to read. It's hard to talk about. But God is going to do this. It's going to come. It's going to prove to be old news. Things that are going to happen in the tribulation are things that we worry about even today. So, the tribulation. There are two events that kind of launch the tribulation, just so you know. The first one is the catching up, the rapture. The second idea, the second one is going to be a sealed judgment beginning, a beginning of judgments, and we're going to basically read through judgments. There are three sets of judgments, so we're going to cover those, but before we do, I need you to understand what I mean by it won't launch until we believe the rapture takes place. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 17, verse 26 says this, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Okay, this idea that God will save out the righteous from this environment is the situation that we believe is true. Notice in verse 28, it says, likewise, just as in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. You see, just like Noah, just like the story of Lot, we will be caught up. The righteous will be warned, they will be caught up, and God's judgment, we believe, will reign. Wow. Wow. Are you ready? Chris talked about that last week. It was awesome. It's something we should rejoice in as Christians, but we should also be in trembling when we think about our responsibility in this realm. And so let's just dive in because we don't have a lot of time and I have literally 100 slides. So here we go. Here it is. It starts out like this, Revelation chapter 6. Turn in your Bibles, verse 1. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice, "Come!" And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. This rider is believed to be the Antichrist, someone who is a false ruler, and he is going to rule and conquer. He's going to take control of everything. He's going to start a one-world government. He's going to have things like, hey, the same currency, the same justice system, legal system. You're going to find yourself in crisis management system. Why? Because when you take out a billion or 2 billion people from the earth, raptured out, you're going to have a lot of crisis on your hand. There's going to be he's going to be in charge of an economic system. And by the way, he's also going to be involved in a religious system, a one world leader. And this leader is going to make a peace deal with Israel at this time. Daniel 9:27 says this, and he shall make strong covenant for many for 1 week. That word 1 week means is believed to be 7 years. And so he is going to have a 7-year peace agreement with Israel, but he's going to break that halfway through. So here we go. We have this idea. The rapture has taken place. A world ruler has shown up. A seal has been released to allow him to have the authority to start a one world government. He does so. He makes a covenant with Israel. And then it all starts to go down. Here we go. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 3. The second seal is open. And when I opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say, "Come." And out came a horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another. And he was given great sword. Notice this, world leader, although he's going to be somewhat given the authority, he's also going to have a lot of enemies. And everybody's going to be fighting everybody. Sounds kind of like the political system we're in right now, where everybody's your enemy. Everybody's fighting. Notice God opens the third seal. It says this in Revelation verse 5. When he opened the third seal, I heard a third of the living creatures say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and his rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard that what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." What is going to happen? This is going to be a time when we find ourselves, inflation is going to be rampant. We're going to find all kinds of crops and shortages of food. So just so you know, when we had COVID and you went to Costco and you couldn't find toilet paper, that's old news. It's going to be much, much worse than that. There's going to be problems with the food system in the entire world. Why? Because I would say this, most Christians who are raptured are many, many, many involved in the food industry, making, farming, and so forth. They will be no longer. And so now we have a major problem with inflation. I mean, I don't know about you, but I couldn't stand the last 4 years of inflation situations. We're talking about inflation that is radical. Notice the fourth seal is open, and something follows. Death follows. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature, living creature, say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his rider's name was Death and Hell, Death and Hades, followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth, to kill with a sword, with famine, with pestilence, and by wild beasts on the earth. Okay, we've just started this first 7-year period. We're in the first quarter. We've had all kinds of things happening. But right off the bat, a quarter of the population is going to be taken because of the food shortages and all the things that have been happening beforehand. Now, when you put the math to it in your mind, you're like, hey, listen, if there's 8 billion people right now and 2 billion people get raptured out, in your mind, just do the math. Okay, we're down to 6, and then we take a quarter. We're talking 1.5 billion people no longer. We're starting to see that God's judgment is mind-blowing. It's much greater than we were thinking. We would thought, oh, you know, God's a good God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And I just want you to know something. When the age of grace is over, the age of judgment will begin. And that's what we're describing right here We do not celebrate this moment. We mourn for this moment. This is not a time for us to get proud and arrogant and say, praise God, he's coming. He's going to set justice free. No, we just need to understand, by the grace of God, we will not be here. Then the fifth seal is open. It demonstrates, I'm going to say, the passion or the compassion of Christ, even in the midst of this. Notice Revelation 6:9. And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witnesses they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign God, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood for those who dwell on the earth? Then they will be given... Each will be given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were killed as they themselves had been. Who are these? Who are these? Listen, when this seal is open, it reveals to us that there is going to be a plan. God's grace, even though he's going to be in a state of judgment, is going to demonstrate his love for those that are here. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He's going to seal 144,000. We'll jump to chapter 7 to find out about these guys. 144,000, by the way, Jewish evangelists, who, by the way, are not married. They're committed to singleness, just so you know. So all that, whatever, whoever said that they're part of that group, it's not here. Chapter 7, verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending and rising from the sun, and the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the sea, earth and the sea. He says, do not harden them. Do not harm the sea nor the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of the sealed was 144,000 from every tribe and son of Israel. So God grants this grace in this time. I want you to know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one of those 144,000. Although they are divinely protected, they are going to witness this tribulation firsthand, and their goal is to honor and exemplify God at this time. Some of you guys are thinking, listen, I know right now, some of you guys are, praise God, there's a way to get to heaven after the rapture if I miss it. You know, I could play and party. I just want you to know, if you choose the path that says, hey, I'm gonna get saved after the rapture because I'm gonna know what happened, I want you to know, first of all, you won't do it. It is a sure death sentence. And if you're not willing to die for Christ today when it's easy, there is no way. As a matter of fact, the Bible says it's going to deceive many. He's going to distract many. And I believe that's those who have heard the gospel and who have rejected it. Notice Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Then I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation and all tribes and all people and all languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to be to our God forever. Amen. For the one of the elders addressed me, saying, listen, who are these? One of the elders looks to John and says, hey, who are these people? And he says, clothed in white robes. And where are they from? And he said to them, sir, you know, I don't know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Whew. A sure death sentence. Believers who follow Jesus after the rapture are certainly going to be looked at, chased down, sought out to be destroyed. You think the Holocaust was bad? I'm telling you, you are going to be hunted for your faith. Hunted. They are going to deny you life at all cost. And then the sixth seal is opened. Revelation 6:12 says this, and then he opened the sixth seal. And I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars fell from the sky, fell to the earth as fig tree sheds its winter fruit when it is shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. When the sixth seal happens, there's a cosmic destruction, not only on earth, but the world as we know it and what we see and how we look at the universe changes. The sun becomes red. The moon becomes like blood. The sky is unable to be seen due to the debris in the atmosphere. Stars are falling from the heavens. This is a time like has never been. Revelation 6:15 says this. What happens? What is the earth doing when they see all this? How are they handling this? Notice this. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? Guys, listen to me. When we're talking about the times that we're looking out to, I just want you to know something. Don't believe for a second that God is okay with sin. Don't believe for a second that God is just, he's just a lovey-dovey God that just accepts everything, tolerates everything. Hey, we're all just good here. No, our God is a righteous and a holy God. Who will give an account, who everyone will give an account to one at one time or another. Now listen, these are the first six, and with all the seals, just so you know, the seventh seal kind of has something that happens. And so the seventh seal is now opened. What is the seventh seal? The seventh seal introduced, by the way, the next seven trials, or the next seven plagues, the next seven sets of tribulation. So here we go. It's called the Day of Wrath. Whew. By the way, we're a quarter of the way into the tribulation. We're a quarter of the way into the tribulation. We know that over a quarter of the people have passed away. That's just in one event. The world is in turmoil. Notice what chapter 8 says. Then the Lamb opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw seven angels stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar of the golden censer. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints. I love this passage, realizing that your prayers are as the incense before the Lord. He loves to smell and see and hear us in prayer. And the smoke from the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God and from the hand of the angel. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire and from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And then the first trumpet sounds. What happens? Verse 7. And the first angel blew the trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Let me just tell you something. Global warming is old news. God alone controls the weather. He alone allows things to happen. Man has nothing, let me say it again, nothing to do with the way this world works. My friends, don't be deceived into believing this. We're talking about hail, fire, a third of the trees burned up, all the grass burned up. And this is just the beginning. And the second trumpet is let loose. The second trumpet blew in verse 8. And something like a great mountain, burning with fire, was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. What is this? Everybody speculates. Well, I don't know about you, but I can see it now. A mountain being thrown in the sea kind of sounds like a A meteorite. Kind of sounds like something from heaven coming, landing in the ocean and creating what we would consider a tsunami of all tsunamis that would kill a third of everything in the sea, including the ships that are around. Listen, this is going to be overwhelming news. Overwhelming news. But then the third trumpet sounds. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and fell on a third of the rivers of the springs of water. And the name of the star was Wormwood, which means bitterness. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the waters because they had been made bitter. So we're having a cosmic thing. Remember, we heard earlier that stars are going to be falling from the sky. We know two of them are going to come. One's going to destroy the water, the freshwater system. One is going to be destroying a third of the seas. And we are still, again, not halfway through the tribulation. God is saying, listen, I want you to know something. This is going to be a time like has never been and will never be. It is the end of times. Are you comprehending? Are you grasping? The fourth trumpet blew. And the fourth trumpet blew. And a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, and a third of their light might be darkness, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. So now all of a sudden we have the ocean being impacted, we have the freshwater being impacted, we have the trees being impacted, and now we have lost light. Now in Alaska, we'll be all right. We're like, no problem. Third of the light, no, we're good. But the rest of the world not going to be used to that. A third of the light time is going to be gone. Disappear. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh, remember Jesus said, would be lived. No flesh would live. And this is a classic example. You might say, man, this is crazy talk. Again, we're not even halfway through. We're not even through the first 42 months of what's going to be happening during this tribulation. Let me tell you something. When God comes, when we're caught up, when his judgment happens, it's utter destruction. He's letting everyone know, I'm a righteous God and people will pay for their turning away from me. Just like in the days of Noah and just like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, you are going to understand and know that I am God. My friends, it's a sobering time. It's not something we should just read over like, oh, this is just a really good storybook. Let's create a movie called Armageddon. No, let's not. Fools, don't mock God. It's not going to end by some guy landing on some planet, blowing it up and splitting it so it doesn't hit us. That is a joke. There will be nothing of the such. But my friends, we're only through number four. Notice what John sees next, verse 13. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets, blasts of the trumpets of the three angels who are about to blow. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You think this has been bad? Woe, woe, woe is me. Listen. Grab everything. Pay attention. Man, what could be worse than what we just heard? The fifth trumpet blew, verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven and earth. And he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. And he opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, and the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke of the shaft. And from the smoke came locusts on the earth, and they were given power like the power of scorpions over the earth. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any green plant of the tree, but only those people who had been given the seal, and not the people who had been given the seal or their foreheads. They were allowed to torment, what, for 5 months, those who had been given the mark, but told not to kill them. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion. When it stings someone. I don't know about you, but this does not sound fun. Given the power for 5 months to give you pain. And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. Again, we're talking about a super natural time, a supernatural event. What do we do as people? We try to rationalize, what does this mean and how does this work? And let me just tell you, there's nothing about this that's natural. This is supernatural. You will beg, they will beg to die, and they will not be able to find death. It'll flee from them. Wow, and the appearance of locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were what looked like crowns of gold. Their faces were like human faces. Their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the noise of their wings was like the noise of many chariots with horses rushing into battle. They have tails and stings like scorpions. And their power to hurt people for 5 months is in their tail. And they have a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon, or Apollyon in Greek. Now I want you to know something. We live in a world of secularism where we don't know much about the spiritual world. We don't even talk about it. But I want you to know, in the rest of the world, spiritualism is very true. The idea of the demonic and the power of evil. And I want you to know that during this time of judgment, God is going to allow people to experience the reality of the spiritual battle that's going on. People who are going to deny God, he's going to say, fine, you want to deny God? Here's what it looks like to be in the realm of those people, the angels, the demons who have been cast away from me. And I promise you, you don't want to be part of that. They're going to be able to torture you and not take your life. You're going to wish you could die, but you are not going to be able to do so. And then the sixth trumpet blows, as though that was not enough. And the sixth angel blew his trumpet and heard a voice from the four horns, the golden altar before God, saying to the six angels who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, and the month, and the year were released to kill one third of mankind. What? And he had a seal judgment take a quarter. So listen, we've already had a seal judgment take a quarter of the people. Now we have another judgment taking a third of the people. Guess what? That leaves a half of the people. Just in two events. So again, 8 billion people, two leave. We have six left. There's less than 3 billion people on a planet. Guess what? When people are like, hey, listen, I think the world is overpopulated, that's old news. There's going to be a time when this place is going to have half or less than half of the people on the planet. And it's not going to be because of some scheme of men. It is going to be because of the judgment of God. We're halfway through the 7 years. Just about. Church, listen to me. The tribulation. It's something we don't like to talk about. It's like the Holocaust. It's like that bad thing, that bad dream, that bad memory, that bad, we're just going to not talk about that. But church, we need to talk about it. We need to understand that God's wrath is coming. It is overwhelming. I want you to know something. If you're a believer again today and you think, listen, I'm so glad I'm going to be raptured, that's one fantastic. But if you're a non-believer today, or you have unbelieving friends who think, oh, listen, I can do what I want. You know what? I'm going to repent someday. I'm letting you know, you don't want them here. They are going to face, listen, they are going to face the tribulation consequences, and they're going to experience being hunted down and wanted to be killed. This is not a great place for you to think for a moment you want to be during this time. Man, you think we're halfway through? You think, come on now. You and I would say to our children, think about this. Like, you've been caught, you've been punished. Would you just say you're sorry? I mean, you would think, right? I mean, you expect, would not the world say, God, we're so sorry. We were wrong. Please stop this judgment. Would you think that? No. You would think that. But I want you to know, the world will do what it's doing now. They will buck up and spit in the face of God. Revelation 9:20 says this, the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of their works of their hands, nor did they give up worshiping demons and idols, gold, silver, bronze, wood, stone, which they cannot see or hear or even talk to. Nor did they repent of their murders, their sorceries, their sexual immorality, and their thefts. In other words, they were totally oblivious to the reality that they had anything that they owed God. I will do what I want. I will be what I want. I will go where I want. Absolute defiance. But let's just take a moment. For all of you who are like, man, God just sounds so harsh. I just want to take a moment. We just got to take a moment. We got to take a breath, a step back. Remember, what has God already promised? His grace is still amazing. His love is still amazing. In the midst of the punishment, again, we've already learned that he sent 144,000 of his Jewish saints to literally start sharing the gospel. A lot of people believe it's because at this time, God's going to be drawing the Jews back. It's going to be about the Jews and not the Gentiles. That could be. I'm not getting into that argument. But the fact is that he sent 144,000 to draw people to repent, but he also sent two witnesses. Two witnesses. Where do we find that? These two witnesses are interesting characters. They are prophets of old. They are prophets, like in the Old Testament, who have the power and the authority of God. Notice their life. God's grace, 144,002. It says this, and I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. They will not look fancy. They will be like John the Baptist in the wilderness. But they will have authority. And these two are the olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Lord of the earth. And if anyone would harm them, fire pours out of their mouth and consumes their foes. If any would harm them, this is how he is doomed to be killed. These guys are hell, fire, and brimstone passers to a whole another level. But it's only because of God's great love that they have even been sent. Do you grasp that? In the midst of this, God's grace is still abounding. They have 144,000, and they're going to witness to these people. They're going to share the faith of these people. People are going to become believers. They're going to be so following Jesus, they're going to be willing to die. Who are these people called? Revelation 7:14 says, the ones coming out of the great tribulation who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the people. This isn't from the church age. This is from this tribulation age. Listen, I believe the age of grace is over, but the age of judgment, there will be a chance to get saved, but your life will be in danger immediately. And now we get to the final seven judgments, and I will go as quickly as I can. It's not over yet. Whew. Here we go. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has come, the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so there is a declaration. Christ is coming. Jump to chapter 16 and verse 1. This is what's going to happen. And I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. The first bowl of the wrath of God is going to be illness, just so you know. And so the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth. A harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast. This is just going to happen to those who are in the system, who have rejected God and are all in. They're worshiping his image. They're going to be miserable. Just like Pharaoh's family, just like the Egyptians, they are going to be begging again because the sickness is going to be so great. Then what happens? The second plague. Verse 3, the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it came like blood of a corpse, and every living thing died in the sea. We've already lost a third. Now the ocean is desolate, filled with death. That's a large, incredible space. Notice the next one. Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his bowl, and the rivers and the springs of the water became like blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, just, listen to this, this is the angel's proclamation, just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed, the judgment is on for those who have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve. Wow. Wow. And then the fourth plague hits, and the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was swallowed, allowed to scorch people with fire. Again, we're not controlling the weather. Old news. And they were scorched by a fierce heat, and they were crushed. They cursed the name of God, who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. They did not repent. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beasts, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish, and they cursed God of heaven for their pain and their sores, but they did not repent. I mean, God is like, listen, what do I have to do to get you to bow your knee to understand that I am God and you are not? And they did not repent. Sixth plague poured out on his bowl. Poured out the bowl on the great river Euphrates, and the water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. You see, at this time, the Lord is coming. So the sixth plague, the sixth one, is to dry up the river Euphrates. Why? Because the kings from the east are going to come upon Israel. And so the plague is, they think in their mind, oh, God made a way, we're going to go judge, and God is actually condemning them to death. Revelation 16, 13 says this, now I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, and they are demonic spirits performing signs to go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for a battle on the great day of the Lord God Almighty. Like, listen, the plague is that God's going to send somebody to go convince all the kings to come join him so he can have judgment on them. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. He's talking to these that are, we're going to talk about this in just a second, those that are still here. And they assembled them at the place of the Hebrews called Armageddon. So the seal, he sends this word out. He's like, listen, I'm going to convince all these kings to come show up here. They're unrepentant. They will not repent. And then the seventh bowl judgment is played out. Verse 17, and the angel poured out of his bowl into the air. A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying these blessed words. It is done. Do you remember those words on the cross? It is finished. Guess what? It is done. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and great earthquake, such as there has never been since man was on the earth. So great was the earthquake that what? The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of all the nations fell. There's not a standing building, and God remembered Babylon the Great to make her drink of the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath, and every island fled away. Every island disappeared, and there were no mountains to be found. Let me tell you something. These little earthquakes we have, 7.1, oh my goodness, Anchorage is falling apart, is nothing. The mountains will be leveled. The islands will no longer be. The cities will be crumbled. God will be here. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail because the plague was so severe. My friends, the reality of the consequences of evil and unrighteousness are going to be revealed. The consequences are going to be revealed. Just like when the Bible says you and I are going to give an account of all that we have done, all that we have thought and said, if we do not have the blood of Christ to rest our sins on, we are going to stand before that kind of righteousness. If you're here today again, and or you're listening by television, and you have not given your life to Christ, I want you to know something. You're going to stand before God, a righteous and holy God, who cannot be in the presence of evil. He cannot come to this earth unless evil is destroyed. Wow. Wow. Notice Revelation 19:11. John writes this, and then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Notice it didn't say he comes down and is tolerant and understands. Just understand this. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and his head, and on his head are many diadems, many crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on a white horse. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, which will strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepresses of the fury of his wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw the angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice, he called all the birds to fly directly overhead, come and gather for the great feast. Guys, this is going to be an awful day for those who don't believe. What does he tell these birds to do? Eat of the flesh of the kings, the flesh of the captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of the horses and the riders, the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both great and small. And I saw the beast of the kings of the earth, and their armies were gathered like war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. It won't even be a contest. They're simply showing up to face judgment, not to have a moment of an opportunity to do one thing to the holy and righteous God. And the beast was captured with a false prophet, whom was in the presence, had done signs, which he had deceived many of the people who have received the mark, and he threw them alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with their flesh. Church, listen to me. The tribulation is an awful time, but it's not a time that we should be not reading and not proclaiming and not sharing. Most pastors in the world today won't even read this. I have to admit, I'm intimidated by even doing so. I do not want to stretch from what the Word says at all. I'm telling you this, I cannot comprehend the power of God and the righteousness that God has come. I cannot even put my mind in this moment, and I don't believe you can either. It's unconscionable. We cannot comprehend it. And yet God's grace, we see it with 144,000. We see the two witnesses still trying to say, listen, God is God. God is God. God is God. Listen, repent, 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 repent. And they will not. Not everyone. We know that some do. Some do repent, but as a whole, the world does not repent. You see, I believe this is in the story. This book is written for two things. Number one, for us, you and I, believers here, for us not to water down the reality of God's righteousness and his holiness. Stop playing in this world that God is a loving God that tolerates everything. It's all wonderful. It's not. God's love is Jesus. God's love is Jesus, that you cannot do something so bad that God cannot forgive you. Even here, God is waiting for them to repent. God is waiting for you to repent right now. This is the truth. Why is it written? For you and I, to understand and know that God is righteous and holy and he will not be mocked. And so we must love others. We must tell them the story of the gospel, that no one would want or ever have to go through this reality. But I also believe he wrote it for another reason. Because I believe the testimony of the 144,000 and the testimony of the two witnesses will be able to say, listen, this is old news. He told you, he warned you in his word. It is written, it is written, it is written. Let me tell you something. When God writes it, it is done. There will be no changing anything in this book. It is done. It is finished. And those people will know and mourn that they did not listen. So my friend, today is the day. Who is it that you need to tell the gospel to? Who is it that you need to love like Jesus to compel them not to be here, not to go here? Who is it? Have you become complacent? Have you just thought, you know, the judgment, it's the something out there. Oh, that tribulation, yeah, we're going to. Part of the problem is I wish for the soul, just for the reality, I believe that we had to endure so that we would think, I don't want to go through that. I'm going to be living upright. That would be a much better argument, by the way, to get you guys to repent. Like, you're going to live through the tribulation. But that's no excuse. Don't take advantage of God's grace. Like, accept that grace and this time, this age, we call the age of the church, the age of grace. And use it for the glory of God. And not for yourselves and your 401ks and your third house and your nice this and your vacation time. Use this time to love others to Jesus. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I know this message was heavy. I know this message is hard. I know that this is a hard thing to say, but I can't read it any other way. I'm sorry. I cannot water this down. I cannot pretend like it's not there. I cannot. It's old news. It's happening. And now it's prayer time. It's time for you and I to really ask God, are we living our lives mindful of his judgment on people that we love and people that we know? If it happened today, someone's friend is going to endure this. My friends, I have family. They're going to endure this. Will I not pray more fervently? Will I not share more fervently? That's my question for you. So as they play and as they sing, would you come? Would you come and pray for those who are lost? If you're here today, if you're listening by television, and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you never comprehended that God is a righteous and holy judge, and we're going to give an account one day. If you've never understood that and grasped it, I want you to know today you can be forgiven. The love of Jesus is great. It's been given to you. It's the Bible says, what? For God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish in this world, but shall have everlasting life. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, now is the time. Give your heart to Jesus. The Bible says if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that he's risen from the dead, we shall be saved. Saved from what? That. Saved from that. To live in the presence of God for eternity. We will no longer have the judgment that we deserve on us because Christ has already taken the judgment. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, now is the time. Come to the altar and give your life to Jesus. As they pray and as they sing, Let's pray together.